Thank you. Well, it's good to see you this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. It is a joy to be here and excited to see what the Lord has for us today in the Word of God. And it's okay getting out at 9:35, 9:40. I understand. You know what? That's a good thing. So occasionally, we're in a church where we hear this announcement. Now, the choir, I know we haven't practiced. Let's all come and sing. And I think, oh, no. So, hey, you're practicing. That's great. No problem there. Isaiah 55. We'll start this morning, and we'll give, like Pastor said, more introductions later. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Let you remain seated for Sunday school as we read verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, this morning and today, would you meet with us? Lord, if I just speak, I know your word will not return void, but Lord, I don't want to waste people's time. And so I'm claiming the power of the word of God, that it will work. And I'm asking that you'd meet with us. Would you bind the devil? And may we set our hearts and our minds and our ears on the word of God and on the truths that it so freely shares, that we may simply apply your word and then choose to trust and obey what it says. Now, Lord, I need you. I pray that you would remove the distractions. I pray that you touch my mind, that I may think right, my mouth that I may speak right, and my heart that I may be right. I do not want to be a hindrance to your word. And I pray that I would be a blessing today. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. When you open up Isaiah 55, I think as a preacher, Isaiah 55 is one of my favorite passages. It really is liberating. You know, he begins the passage by saying this in verse number 6, seek ye the Lord. Well, you know, we could begin right there. Seek ye the Lord, seek ye the Lord. We need to turn, we need to seek the Lord. And even the Lord says to seek him. And when we seek him, we will find him. It's not a maybe, might, possibility. It's a promise in the word of God. And he begins the passage by saying, seek ye the Lord. Well, it's so easy to turn that passage and to say, well, the lost need to seek the Lord. Well, the passage is not written to the lost. The passage is written to God's people. And yes, you can turn it and say, well, this is Old Testament, so this is Israel or Judah. Wait a minute. Aren't we God's people? And didn't God preserve the Word of God? I mean, I'm not trying to get into textual topic today, but just simply, God preserved His Word. We have the Word of God. I don't need another book. I have the living Word of God. And he writes here and he says, seek ye the Lord. Then he goes on to say, and return unto him. In other words, God's people, we as God's people have turned another way. And he says, turn back again. He is simply waiting. He is simply wanting to do what he wants to do, not what we think he should do. That's the whole point of the passage. I'm in churches all the time, almost every single week. We're in a new church. And sometimes you walk into churches and I hear something like this. You know, we have our program and we've done this for years and God has blessed this for years. Well, God didn't promise to bless my program. God promised to bless His Word. So I need to be faithful to the Word of God. And here He doesn't say, seek a new program. He doesn't say, seek having the right people in. By the way, I'm an evangelist, and pastors have me come and preach all the time. But I don't bring revival. I don't have anything special that you don't already have. I have the Word of God. And the same thing you have. So I am not the answer to the church of God, although my calling, my gifting is a gift to the local church, just like a pastor is a gift to the local church. But the Word of God is what we need to seek after, not after a man. And He says, seek Me. You say, okay, what's the difference between God and the Word of God? Well, John chapter 1, right? What's John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when He comes here and He says, seek ye the Lord, He says this, while He may be found. I've struggled with this for quite a while, but I've come to realize that there will be a point where we cannot find God. You read all throughout the Scriptures where when God's people turn their back on God, what does God do? He writes Ichabod over the door. Now, please understand, God is long-suffering. Maybe it would be good for us sometime to do a study on the oldest man in the Bible. Why was he the oldest man in the Bible? Because of the mercy and long-suffering of God. We don't have time in Sunday school to go there, but it'd be an interesting study. You go here in this passage and he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There will come a point where God says, I've been here, you're not seeking, so you won't see me work because you don't want me to work. There are an awful lot of churches today that have beautiful buildings where God's not present. You have prayer meetings where the prayer doesn't get past the ceiling. Well, what's the point? Man, many times, though it looks good, though it sounds good, though it sounds like exactly what the Bible has described, it has no power of God. In 2 Timothy, it is a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. He says, seek me. You know, it would be very good for us, according to the Bible, to just get back to God. You say, well, that's simple. God meant it to be simple. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Then he says this, call ye upon him while he is near. You know, the Bible word call is an interesting word. Here's our idea of the word call. Ready? Dear Lord, I pray. That's not the Bible word call. Maybe that's why we have so much confusion on salvation in our churches today. Because in the book of Romans, we hear this phrase, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon the name of the Lord? I reckon. Okay, well, call. What's that mean? Pray a prayer. Come on now, pray. Yes, we had another soul pray today. Wait, just because they prayed doesn't mean they trusted Christ. I've had the privilege of circling the globe 3 times and being in countries that I cannot even mention in fear of we might be live streaming. And I've seen people crawl on their knees for miles. And I've seen people write prayers and roll them up and tie them on trees, hoping that their prayers get answered. Prayer never saved anyone. Anyone. You know, I'm in churches, good, independent, fundamental Baptist churches that believe the Word of God. And I hear people that have been in church for years say something like this. Well, you know, sometimes I struggle with my salvation. Why is that? Well, I don't know if I said the right thing. I've learned this from the Scriptures. My prayer didn't die for me. Jesus did. Now, prayer is how I talk to Jesus, but Jesus died for me. Can someone trust Christ without verbalizing a prayer? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Here's the Bible word call. Ready? Help! That's the Bible word call. I can't, he can, I'm trusting him. It's the same idea as a 911 call. I can't, I'm going to use my phone to call someone that can. Does that make sense? my phone doesn't do the rescuing. The rescuers do. Here he says, call on the name of the Lord. He says, while he may be found. In other words, listen, you need to seek him now. You need to call out now. We need help now. In the churches that do not have God's presence, that's not God's fault. It's ours. He says, seek ye the Lord, call ye upon him while he is near. In other words, God is just like an earthly father, or like an earthly father ought be. When the child says, help, the father says, I've been right here waiting for you to just ask. He goes on in verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Well, there we go again. He begins the passage by saying, let the wicked forsake his way. And I think, maybe we should have a tent meeting. Maybe let's get all of Goodyear under the tent and let them hear how wicked they are. Wait a minute. We are wicked. God's people. You say, but preacher, we've been saved by the grace of God. Well, amen, but it didn't remove the fact that you're still wicked. How many churches have you been in? Maybe when you're traveling and you meet people that, well, I've been in church for all these number of years. Bless God. You are still a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner just like me. I'm saved by the grace of God, not because of what I am, but because of who he is and my trust in him. But I still have this sinful nature. I'm still a wicked person, and I'll deal with my sin until I reach heaven. Years ago, I was preaching in North Carolina, and it's always interesting what people tell you at the door as they're leaving. Always. I've had people before say, oh, preacher, I wish so-and-so would have been here. That would have been a good message for them to hear. And I think, did you listen? Or this, somebody came up, and my wife, sometimes I say things, and my wife comes to me later, and she says, I can't believe you said that. They're never going to have us back. And I think, well, I wasn't trying to be mean. You understand. Lord set a guard about my mouth. And somebody came out and said, oh, preacher, you know how very uppity. I don't know. Is that a word that we use around here? Uppity. I'm from the deep southeast of the United States, so there are some words that we use that I'm in other parts of the country. My wife says they don't know what that means. Stuck up. And this guy comes to me and he says, preacher, you stepped all over my toes this morning. It just came out. And I said, well, maybe you should have moved your toes out of the way and let God step on your heart. And my wife said, oh. Well, I'm standing at the door, North Carolina. Inner city Charlotte, and this man comes to me and he said, preacher, you preached on sin tonight. I'm thinking, well, yeah. You can't walk with God till you deal with your sin. He said, I can't believe you preached on sin. He said, how dare you? He said, I'm 72 years old. I don't need preaching on sin. I need encouragement. I thought, you want to be encouraged. You hear preaching on sin and deal with your sin God's way. And you go into the passage, and what does he say? Let the wicked forsake his way. By the way, he's speaking to people that know all about him. He's speaking to people who talk about him in their houses and in the streets. He's speaking to people that are, religious. And he says, seek ye the Lord, call ye upon him, and forsake your way. It's not my ideas. It's not my plans. It's his. And that's what he goes on to explain. He says in verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Sometimes we have the idea that if we, pray enough, seek God enough, beg him enough, maybe he will come down to our level. That's not what it's describing here. It's not getting God on my level. It's me seeking God on his level. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Okay, Lord, so why don't you change your thoughts to be my thought? No. Change my thoughts to be his. He goes on and says, not your ways, my ways. By the way, no one can understand the mind and ways of the Lord. But that doesn't mean I don't need to follow him. It doesn't mean I don't need to simply trust him. And he says, your ways are not my ways, but choose my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, but choose my thoughts. How will you know the ways and thoughts of the Lord? The Word of God. I was in a service one time. We just slipped in for a service, and I saw the preacher open his Bible. He read a verse, and then he went, now that we got that out of the way. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. And we may not so much as do that, but sometimes we live that way. Where we come into church and we hear Bible preaching, and then we go out of church and we do things our way, our thoughts, our plans, without ever seeking God. Or if we seek God, we choose to do what we want. We don't need more of God's people saying, okay, that sounds good. We need more of God's people that say, I just need to be broken over self and a humbling and understanding I am wicked and my thoughts and my ways don't please God. I need God. Isn't that how he starts out? He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Then he goes on and he says in verse number 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For years I struggled with this passage. I would preach only from one section. My word will not return void. And I completely missed the whole point of the passage. Yes, please understand, when God's word is given, God's word will work. Always. It is a living book. I said that recently in one of our revival meetings. I said, we have a living and breathing word of God. And I saw my 5-year-old at the back go, I thought, oh, okay, maybe we need to explain. This is God, the Word of God, John 1. And God's Word is powerful. It's not just black and red words on a page. They are the words that God has given, that God has preserved, that God wants us to choose to live by. And you go into the passage and he says, my word won't return void. In other words, my word is powerful. My word will work. Amen. But there's more. He goes on and he'll begin the passage for saying, for as the rain cometh down. And he says, and the snow from heaven. In other words, when God sends it, God has a purpose for it. The rain and the snow, when it comes down, the snow melts, or the rain, it has the runoff, and it gives exactly what the ground and the plants need. It lets them grow. It lets them bring forth and bud. Why? That it can give seed to the sower, so that then you can have bread to those that need it. You say, what is the point? God does what God wants to do with the Word of God. You say, okay. I've been in meetings where I'll preach something and I'll stand at the door. You remember how I was telling you it's always interesting? And somebody will shake my hand and say, oh, preacher, thank you so much for preaching on. And they name something and I think, I don't even have a message that deals with that. I'll go home and I'll ask my wife, I'll walk in our trailer and I'll say, you didn't mention that. And I think to myself, where did they get that? You know, they have an earbud listening to somebody else. I don't know. Then I realize this, Isaiah 55. God works how God wants to work from his word. So when I preach,
God may deal with you about something completely different than you. Does that mean, oh, he got something special? No. God's word accomplishes that which God sends, what God wants to. And God prospers exactly how he wants his word to prosper. That's amazing to me. Used to, when I started preaching some 15 years ago, I would start preaching, I would try to convince people. Let me convince you what the Word of God says. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to convict and convince. Not my job. My job is to simply give the Word of God. But God is faithful, and God always works. And so if you have someone who stands up here and they can't preach their way out of a paper bag, but they're preaching the Word of God will still work. Some of the most powerful messages I've ever heard were from 7 or 8 year old kids that came to church, and the pastor said on a New Year's Eve service, I'd like for you to preach tonight. And I don't know, you'd have 5 of them sitting up in the front. I mean, just scared to death. They each have one point of an outline the pastor's already given. And they have 5 minutes to give that one point of the outline. And they're terrified. And they just stand up and really just read the words. And you see God work. And I think, well, wait a minute. How does God work through them? Just like he works through, you name your favorite preacher. How can God do that? Because of the power of the Word of God. And I've also learned this. If I sit and listen in any service where the Word of God is preached and the Word of God doesn't do something in my heart, that's not God's fault. It's mine. So sometimes in my own selfishness and pride, I sit there and listen to somebody else preach, and I walk out and I say, good message. That's not how to respond to the Word of God. Responding to the Word of God is, that's where God is. That's where I am. I need to change to what God says. And it's not glory to a preacher, it's glory to the Word and the person of Jesus Christ. I need to change. So the Bible will always work. And then when I respond God's way to the Bible, not my ways, not my thoughts, I'm going to seek you, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to obey you, then notice what happens. And I know we're going through this quickly. Notice what happens in verse number 12. He says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. When I first read that, I thought, What does that mean? I mean, first, in the beginning of the passage, he's talking about seek the Lord. It's not his way. It's not my way, it's not my thoughts, it's his ways and his thoughts. Okay, great, God's word will not return void. Okay, so I need to seek him, I need to trust him. Now it says that the mountains are going to sing and the trees are going to come up where the thorns were, and sounds like he's hallucinating. I mean, what does it mean? How does it help me? And I've learned this from the passage, that when I simply choose to do what God says do, and complete trust, willing obedience, things will happen around us that will not bother us. Let's put it this way. When trials come, and I'm trusting in Jesus, Jesus gives joy no matter the trials. You've seen people before. People that walk with God. And you learn through someone else of the trial that they're going through, and you think, how in the world can they go through that and have that kind of spirit? Well, you can't understand it because it's the Lord. John 15, he speaks of real fruit. He speaks of real joy that's overflowing no matter the circumstances. He speaks of answered prayer. Why? How? When I just abide in Him. Which is abiding, and without making it complex, abiding is me saying, it's not about me, it's about Him. I'm going to trust Him and just walk with Him. And so in the Isaiah, he says, and when you just seek and trust and obey God, wow. You walk out of the house and it's like the mountains are clapping their hands. You look down the other way and instead of seeing the thorn of the flesh, you see something that is beautiful, that has life, that's giving shade. In other words, it's not hallucinating. It's seeing what God does in here that changes your perspective here. How? When? Is it possible? Yes. When you all begin to seek God. We come to church on Sunday morning.
All right, time to seek God. Open your Bibles too.
Well, amen. And we need to seek God in our churches. We have too many churches that aren't seeking God. But if we're living for Sunday and Wednesday to seek God, we're not truly seeking God. You know what Sunday should be? Sunday should be the absolute most amazing day of your week. You want to know why? Because you and I spent all week seeking God. And then Sunday, we're just coming into the house of the Lord to worship Him. To say, this is what He did this week when I sought Him. Look at the souls. Look at the people. Look what God's done in my life. I don't mean a boast on self. I'm going to boast on the Lord. That's what Sunday should be. Amen. When it comes to, I've already sought God, and I want to keep seeking Him. Let me ask you something. How close to God can you be? Kind of an interesting question, isn't it? You and I can be as close to God as we want to be. He says, seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart. How do you do that? Not my ways, not my thoughts. His ways, His thoughts. Will you seek Him? You say, Brother Glenn, this is a Sunday school lesson. And you didn't really teach, you preach. I'm sorry. But I will tell you this. These truths can change your life. They can change my life. If I simply, at the beginning of the passage, choose to trust and obey what He says by seeking Him. My Father, I've done what You've asked me to do this morning. I thank You for Your love for us, and I thank You for the Word of God and how the Word of God will work if we just choose to obey it. I need You. We need You this morning. May You help us this morning to put aside our thoughts, our ways, and seek You today and You alone. And I ask this the only way I know how, to the name, to the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Pastor.